you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. I'm John Horn in for Larry Mantle. Thanks for joining us. Barry Jenkins, who directed Moonlight, has a new project, the Amazon limited series The Underground Railroad, adapted from Colson Whitehead's novel about two escaped slaves. It's a story filled with magical realism. The Underground Railroad is an actual subterranean train network. I sat down with Jenkins outside at his house in Los Angeles, and we started by talking about negotiating stories of black pain. I want to start by reading to you something that Colson Whitehead said about writing Underground Railroad. And here's what he said. Slavery is a daunting concept to contemplate, and it's daunting to put your characters through the kind of brutality that telling a truthful story about the topic requires. So those things definitely gave me pause. Was the same true for you?
Yeah, I would say the same is definitely true for me. And it's different because, you know, I work in sounds and images, you know, in external sounds and images, and he works in internal sounds and images. You read the text on the page and you hear it in your head or you see it in your head. So it's a bit less aggressive, less assaultive, potentially, depending on, you know, the tact of the creator of those images. So, but the word in there that really sticks out to me is, you know, to contemplate. You know, I think that's what this whole process is about, this need, this yearning to contemplate what it would have been like to have been these characters. And I think their condition of being enslaved is one aspect, you know, of that character, but there's so much more. And I think you have to push through those things to contemplate the other things.
When Colson is writing and you're adapting, putting words to paper are one thing. Asking your actors to put those words into action is a very different thing. And I'm curious about the conversations you had with your cast and even your department heads about the things that were difficult to depict but necessary to depict. And how did you get to a place where everybody felt, I don't know what the feeling might be, safe, protected, because what they're doing is dangerous and unsafe in terms of what it represents in a way?
Yeah, I tried to be very open, and I tried to have communal conversations in addition to these one-on-one conversations. You know, at the beginning of most days, you know, depending on what was on the call sheet, you know, I would have a very open conversation with the crew that no one here is doing this alone. We're all doing it together. That nothing we were doing was more important than everyone's individual sanity, than our collective sanity. You know, it reminds me of a line from Hilton Alves' review of Moonlight, where he's talking about the question that Little asked Juan at the diner table. And he writes, you know, Juan unpacks the word, but he doesn't unpack the boy with it. Because it's radio, I won't say the word. And I felt like in building these scenes, we were trying to unpack the condition of American slavery at times and unpack these acts of brutality, but not unpack ourselves or the audience with it. And I was very clear with the cast and the crew that unpacking these things wasn't more important to me than their sanity, than their mental well-being. It's why we had a therapist / guidance counselor on set at all times, this lovely woman, lovely clinician named Miss Kim White. I called her Miss Kim. And her will it outruled mine, you know. And so if she saw someone and she felt like that person wasn't in a place where they could separate themselves from the work stopped. And she could call action and cut and everything else.
I remember going on a tour of a place called 9 Mile Point in Louisiana with Steve McQueen, where he shot 12 Years a Slave. And we're looking at a location, and there's a tree from which somebody is lynched. And he said to me, it's what made the scene even more vital and necessary, bringing the past into the present. If this tree had eyes, imagine what it has seen. And you're shooting, I assume, mostly in Georgia, right?
Entirely in Georgia.
So you are where this history has unfolded. Does the land speak to you? Do you feel something going on in the soil, in the wilderness, in the swamps?
If you had asked me before we went to make this, I would say no. You know, they are places. And intellectually, I know these things happened, but there's no feeling there in the present. Part of that is I want to rob these places of their power. You know, I don't want the aggrievement that happened 150 years ago to be so pervasive, to be so powerful that it's also a grieving me. And yet standing in those places, and Mark Freeberg, our wonderful production designer, you know, we were scouting and we found many plantation houses. The houses are allowed to persist and people get married in them, but the slave quarters, you know, that were adjacent to these places, those have been allowed to waste away. Sort of in the same way, some aspects of the historical record have been allowed to be erased and others have not. And so we built the slave quarter from scratch. We built, I mean, everything. I mean, it was a massive undertaking, but I wanted it to be real. I wanted to stand in these spaces. I wanted to bear witness to these spaces, witnessing these things. And it wasn't the land. What it was the same way there are all these Civil War enactors who go to Gettysburg and reenact those things, there are these black men and women in the South who preserve the traditions of our ancestors. And we empowered them amongst particularly our background actors to, we put them in full wardrobe and they would go around and they helped our background understand, again, this word contemplate, help them unpack this process of contemplating what it would be like to be my ancestors so that they could become my ancestors. And that, John, that was where standing in this physical space where I know my production designer, his team have recreated these things, so it's not the same thing, but then I have these wonderful people embodying my ancestors, and that was just, I would be walking through the set, and I remember, I didn't remember this, but Miss Kim reminded me the other day, where I said to the crew on the very first day, you have to be careful. We have built this so to spec that there are going to be times where, even with the camera, you're going to look around and you're going to see things that feel real. You have to remember that you are you, and we are in a creation. And yet, even for me, there are moments where the idea of creation just went out the window.
So two things, material things, happen in the course of filming and post-production. One is the pandemic, and two, and equally important, is George Floyd is murdered. The pandemic obviously causes, you know, a shutdown, and you're pausing things and maybe working remotely through post-production. The murder of George Floyd happens during that same period. Does that inform editorial? Does that inform anything in your mind about taking the footage that you have and how it might be different, or is it always going to be the same way?
At first, I thought I wanted to go back, and I didn't know what. I just, my gut reaction was, I wish I could go back and do it again. I've went through so many different emotions. Having made the show, I felt a responsibility to watch the full tape, and so I did. Because some of these I do watch, some of them I don't watch. It depends on where I am mentally. You know, I felt like I knew that this horrendous thing was going to become a part of us. It just seemed like with everything that was happening, the fact that people were in the streets in a time when we were supposed to all be home, I was like, whoa, this is something different. This is beyond. And I watched the court proceedings, and then Raoul Peck's documentary Exterminate All the Brutes came out, and I was watching that, and I thought about this idea that we are somehow considered savages, considered barbarians, and yet I think of all those people standing on that sidewalk, respecting the rule of law, pleading out to the people hired to enact the rule of law, and yet we are considered the barbarians, and they are considered the people who hold up the rule of law. This has been happening forever. The enslaved were the savages, not the people burning folks at the stake. It's just, I realized, okay, it's all in there. Everything, all of it's there. Just keep going. And so we just kept going.
My thanks to writer-director Barry Jenkins. His new limited series, The Underground Railroad, is available on Amazon Prime Video. I'm John Horn. Larry Mantle is back next week. Thanks for listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. Have a great weekend.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.